You see, there's one thing that's true, is that the moth has to go through the struggle in order to get his wings. And sometimes God is trying to get you to fly, and he will allow you to go through the neck of the cocoon. And you know what? We want what? Hey, somebody cut. Who got the scissors around here? Who got the scissors? Somebody cut these strings off my life.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder and dean of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Called to Suffer, Part 1. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Called to Suffer, Part 1.
Then you're going to have some suffering that you might have to deal with. So, you know, here we see that suffering sometimes come from simpleness. Sometimes suffering comes. Now, I got scriptures here, so, I mean, you can read all those scriptures. I'm trying to save us looking to these scriptures till we get to some of these key verses. But here, suffering comes from Satan. Suffering comes from Satan. There's no question that Satan is at the source of some people's suffering. You look at Job. Satan took his possessions. Satan took his family, and then finally Satan took his health. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7, he said there was a messenger of Satan that was sent to afflict my body. So Satan is at the source of some suffering. And then you know what? Just by nature of the fact that you are a child of God, just being a child of God, sometimes you're going to face suffering. Whether it's through salvation, sanctification, or service, you are going to face suffering just because of who you are. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. When you're walking the right road, when you're doing the right thing, when you're trying to live your life in such a way that you're trying to please God, then guess what? You're going to get some opposition. A young person that's out here trying to keep themselves pure, that's out here trying to not defile themselves sexually, guess what? Oh, what's wrong with you? Are you crazy? Are you still a virgin? There must be something wrong with you. You see, when you try to walk right and do right, you're going to get opposition. You're going to get people that are wondering what's wrong with you. They're going to call you crazy. They're going to call you foolish. They're going to call you stupid. Oh, you mean to tell me you don't want to go and do such and such a thing with us? Why is that? Because I'm trying to please God. I'm trying to walk after God. Well, what's wrong with you? And so persecution comes sometimes. Suffering comes sometimes just as a result of you wanting to take a stand to do the right thing. Suffering defined. Suffering displayed, suffering discovered. Now let's look at suffering dissected. Where does suffering appear? Where do we see it at? Well, the first thing that I want to say about suffering is that suffering is excruciating. It's excruciating. It's painful. You know, when a husband, and we were at a conference last week, and this pastor of this church got up and went to say how that he was in a building project. And they had just raised the funds to be able to put up a building and pay for it. And he said, man, that was one of the greatest highs of his life. And then he went home after that, and his wife told him that she was leaving him for another man. He said, man, the devastation and the hurt that came. I mean, as he shared his testimony, you could see the hurt on his face. You could feel the hurt in his heart. And any of you that have ever been through suffering, you know that suffering hurts, whether it's through physical affliction, whether it's through mental affliction, whether it's through emotional affliction. Man, suffering hurts. It drains on you emotionally. Man, it consumes your mind, your attention. Agony, it gives you agony in the soul. It gives you pain in your heart. Man, suffering hurts. If you've ever been through it, there may be somebody that's sitting there right now, and you're going through suffering. Man, you're hurting. I would imagine that in a crowd of this size, that everybody in here is not with a soul that's light and clean and no burden in your soul. There's some folk here today that's hurting. I mean, you weighted down. And it's a painful thing. And that's a part of what suffering is. Man, suffering hurts. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 19. Peter says, "For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience sake toward God endure grief, suffering wrong." He says sometimes you as a believer will suffer for the wrong thing, something that you didn't even do. But look what he says here. He says that you endure what? Grief. This word grief is a very interesting word. It comes from the Greek word lupe, and it means pain in the body or in the mind. Pain in the body or in the mind. And so in other words, he's saying if some of you are suffering with pain in the body or mind as a result of wrongdoing, this is a hurting thing. Man, and that's why sometimes the saints have to be sensitive to those who are in the body that are hurting, because you never know the depth of the agony and the anguish that's in their spirit, because it's something that is tearing them apart inside. You know, I've had some great hurts in my life, but I can honestly say, and I hope that at no time soon will I have to be hurt like some I've seen hurt. The deepness of the hurt, the wound that's there. Suffering is excruciating. The second thing we see is that suffering is an enigma. Suffering is an enigma. Well, what do you mean by that? I mean that suffering is puzzling. You can't figure suffering out. Job lost everything. He lost everything. And as you read the whole book of Job, now, as we read it, we know what was going on. We know what the deal was. But Job, I don't see anywhere where Job was ever told why he went through what he went through. And so here he had to deal with this situation. Look at Job 42. Job 42. And Job, I mean, God confronts Job and asks Job a series of questions that just leaves Job flabbergasted. And in Job 42, the scripture says, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou can do everything and that no thought can be withheld from thee. Who is he who hideth counsel without knowledge?" Look what Job says here. And you know, this is where many people are. This is where many people are when they want to find out, God, why did you let me go through this? God, why did you take my baby? God, why did you let me get in that car accident and wreck my car? God, why did you do this? Why did you do that? You know what? There may not be an answer on this side. Job said, "Therefore, I have uttered that which I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not." Job said, "Look, I don't know why this happened, but you know one thing I do know? I do know that God is in control." And you know, sometimes, saints, I just want to say this, that when you're going through it, there's no answer. There's no, you know, I wish that Pastor Glaze could open up the Word of God and say, "Well, look, this is why you are suffering. This is why you are going through what you're going through." But you know, for some things, there's just no answers. For some things, they just will be an enigma, and we just have to rely on not only on the words of Scripture, but on the words of the song that says, "We'll understand it better by and by, by and by." That's the only, I need some. See, sometimes folk want to answer. Sometimes folk want to answer. I had a person that called me one time, and they had lost a child, and they couldn't figure out why God would take their child. And I was about the third or fourth person that they had talked to. And they had talked to pastors. And nobody could answer why that child was taken. And you know what? It came to me, I didn't have an answer. I didn't know why. I mean, I can speculate and I can say, well, based on this, but you know what? The bottom line is some things that happen in life, there's just no answers for us to give. And that's at that point, we got to be able to find our way to God. Somebody said, those who know the path to God, listen to this. Those who know the path to God can find it in the dark. Wow. When there are no answers, man, you got to find your way to God. You might be going through the fire. You might be trying to figure out why is this sickness happening to me? You know, why is it that I'm dealing with this illness in my body? I don't understand why. And there may not be an answer, but you know what? You got to find your way to God and just sit in his presence and let him minister to your soul. Suffering is an enigma. It's something that is puzzling. And if we had it figured out, oh, we could write books and we could make a lot of money if we had it figured out. But the fact of the matter is, nobody has this thing called suffering figured out. You know, I was reading somewhere and it says that why is it that as we look at life sometimes and we see that people who run planes in the buildings, how come they're not the ones that get blown up before they hit the building? People that get drunk and drive their car, how come they don't have an accident and kill themselves before they kill somebody else? Yo, that would seem like the reasonable thing. If we could rationalize that and if we could reason that thing out, that would seem like the reasonable thing. How come somebody who's acting a fool just don't blow themselves up? But it don't happen that way. Somebody else is always involved. Why is it that innocent people are involved in things when people are being stupid and being a knucklehead? That's an enigma. That's puzzling. And we can't figure it out. Suffering is an enigma. The third thing we see is that suffering, and I know you don't want to hear this. I know you don't want to hear this, but suffering is established. It's established. And you know what? I want to say, you know, suffering is just going to be a part of life. You know, I mean, and we got to come to grips. And once again, I don't want to suffer. And this flies in the face of this message that's popular today in Christian circles, that if you are a Christian and you got faith, that you're not going to suffer. Well, you know, I got some problems here with two scriptures. And let me share with you the two scriptures that I got a problem with. The first one is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3. It says here that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for ye yourselves know that we are appointed to these things. Appointed. Appointed to suffer. God told these folks that they were appointed. Now, we're talking about God's people. We're talking about the Thessalonians who were trying to serve God, who were trying to walk with God. He said that you were appointed to these things. And then in 1 Peter chapter 4, I told you it's not going to be a popular message. That's all right. We're going to check and see. I'll call around a couple other pastors this week and see what they're preaching. And I'll let the church secretary know, and you can call, you know, maybe there's somebody preaching on the goodness of God, and you can go there next week. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 19. Wherefore, let them that suffer, he didn't say this. Let them that suffer according to the will of God. Wow. You know, sometimes it's God's will for folk to suffer. See, and you know what? That goes right back to this whole idea that it's an enigma. That we can't figure it out. Why would God want somebody to suffer? Why would God allow somebody to suffer? But he says, in the midst of it, commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as a faithful creator. See, in the midst of it, you still got to keep moving close to God. You can't let suffering. See, somebody said this, that suffering can do one of two things. It can make you bitter or it can make you better. You know, what is it going to do for you? Is it going to make you bitter or is it going to make you better? You know, as much as I have tried to walk with God in my life, I've still found that there have been points of suffering that I've had to experience. Even in times when I felt most connected with God, even in times when I felt that I was in step with God, somehow some suffering came my way. And so we see here that suffering is established. Somebody asked C.S. Lewis, why do the righteous suffer? C.S. Lewis replied, they're the only ones that can take it. They're the only ones that can take it. You know, world can't take it. Why do the righteous suffer? Well, let me move on. Let me move on. And let me say this. I got two more points that I'm going to finish, and we'll pick it up next week. Suffering is an examination. Suffering is an examination. In James chapter 1, James chapter 1, he says in verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Knowing this, whoa, look at this word right here, that the testing of your faith works patience. The word test or trial comes from the Greek word dokimenion. You know what it means? Listen to this. It's in your notes. You can read it, but I'm going to read it for you. It means to test something in order to verify or deny its authenticity. Sometimes God allows suffering to come into your life to burn off the dross and to see who you really are. You know, for some folk, you know, the only way that some folk are going to come to God is to have some trial. It's to be broken and put down on their knees. That's the only way that they're going to come to God. Other than that, they just skip along their merry way. They just float along through life, just having a good old time and not thinking anything about what it means to draw close to God. Sometimes God allows suffering to come and to see who you really are. You know what? Unless you had some trials in your life, and once again, God knows I don't want trials. God knows I don't want any trials. I'm not asking for them. Somebody said that this young person came and said to the preacher, look, I want you to pray for me that God would give me patience. He said, well, let's pray. He said, Lord, I pray that you would bring this young man trials in the morning. I pray that you would bring him trials in the afternoon. I pray that you would bring him trials in the evening. He said, oh, wait a minute. I thought you was praying for patience. He said, that's the only way you're going to get it. That's the only way you're going to get it. You know, suffering is a form of examination. It shows you where you are. You know, why do you take an exam? You know, you go to school for a whole semester and you take a final exam. Why do you take that final exam? To see where you are, to see what you've learned. And sometimes God allows our faith to be tested. Not so that he can see where we are. He already knows. But so that we can see where we are. And you know what? Sometimes you're not as hot as you think you are. Sometimes you're not who you think you are. They found a prayer on the body of a young boy at a German concentration camp where they had killed thousands of Jewish people. And they found this prayer. And this prayer kind of let me know that this person, whoever wrote this, passed the examination. Now, you got to remember, they had killed thousands of Jewish people in these concentration camps. Listen to this prayer. Oh, Lord, remember not only the men and women of goodwill, but also those of ill will. But do not remember all the suffering they have inflicted upon us. Instead, remember the fruits we have borne as a result of this suffering. Our fellowship, our loyalty to one another, our humility, our courage, our generosity, the greatness of our heart that has grown from this trouble. And when our persecutors come to be judged by you, let all the fruits that we have borne be to their forgiveness. Man, that was somebody that was in the fire and somebody that passed the test. Will you pass the test when you go through the fire? And finally, we see that suffering has an ending product. I'm not going to read the scripture because you all know it. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God. We know that all things work together. Well, what is the all things? All things even involve suffering. It even involves hard times. It involves trials, that they work together for good. Suffering is the hammer and the anvil that God pounds upon the soul and tries to bring that end product to a place of fruitfulness. Suffering brings you to that place. You know, if you had all sunshine in your life and no rain, the ground would become hard and cracked and parched. Thank God for sometimes that, as somebody said, into each life, some rain must fall. Well, why is that? That is to nourish and to nurture the soil so that it will, the plant will be able to soak in the water and bring forth fruit. There's an end product. All things work together for good. God is looking, whenever you're going through suffering, you know what you see? You see all the problems and you see all the trials and the tribulations around you. You know what God sees? He sees the end product. And God says, look, just come on. You see God sometimes, he's like, come on. And when we resist, God says, he tries to hurry you through. Somebody said, God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks in our conscience, and he shouts in our pain. He shouts in our pain. Why is that? Because he's trying to bring us through. He's trying to bring us to a place where the end product is what he's after. And as I conclude this morning, and we think about this whole idea that suffering brings about an end product, there is a moth that's called the emperor moth. And this moth, in order to develop its wings, has to go through a struggle. It goes through the neck of the cocoon. And as it goes through the neck of the cocoon, it struggles. And in that struggle, it begins to draw substance from the cocoon that causes the wings to grow and that nurtures the wings, so that once it struggles through the neck of the cocoon and it comes out on the other side, the wings sprout and it's able to fly. Somebody saw the moth in its infant stage or in its pre-moth stage trying to get out. And it thought, well, I'll try to help the moth. And so what it did, it took a pair of scissors and cut off the strings that were attaching themselves to the moth. The moth came through the neck of the cocoon, and as it came out, it existed for a few seconds, and then it died. You see, there's one thing that's true, is that the moth has to go through the struggle in order to get its wings. And sometimes God is trying to get you to fly, and he will allow you to go through the neck of the cocoon. And you know what? We want, what? Hey, somebody cut, who got the scissors around here? Who got the scissors? Somebody cut these strings off my life. And then we end up dying. Man, fight through. Come on through the other side. God sees the end product, and he will allow you to sprout wings. Wow.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Called to Suffer, Part 2. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Called to Suffer, Part 1, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Called to Suffer, Part 1. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Called to Suffer, Part 1. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.